The second round of open season on healthcare.gov went a lot better than the first, but problems still lurk behind the scenes of the website. Even with the rapid response team the government and the private sector deployed to get the site back on track, Valerie Melvin is Director of Information Management and Technology Resource Issues at the Government Accountability Office, and she and her team making 7 recommendations to help CMS fix the lingering issues with the system. And Valerie, we'll get to the recommendations, but before we start, my takeaway from the recommendations are not just for healthcare.gov, but to help CMS and other components, pieces of HHS, put best practices in place for future IT deployment systems. Did I read between the lines correctly?
I think you did, Francis. Our concern, obviously, in the immediate is with healthcare.gov and the continuing development of components of that system that have to be in place. But beyond that, we looked at areas that are considered to be best practices, recognized best practices for systems development, and these areas being, for example, requirements management, systems testing, and project oversight that are critical for any systems development effort that CMS and HHS would be undertaking.
You identified the big three when it comes to the coverage in the media of healthcare.gov and the problems that it had on deployment in 2013. Inadequate capacity planning, the error messages or that resulted in the error messages that people got on an ongoing basis, software coding errors that took people to dead ends where nothing happened, and lack of functionality, those actual dead ends themselves. Were among those three problems that you write about in this report, when people tried to create accounts and then sign up for healthcare plans, were there common threads in each of those that tied them together, or were they kind of located on a continuum where one problem might have led to another, which might have led to the other?
I think it's a combination of things. I think what underlies all three of those problems is a lack of effective management. What we started to see as we that's detailed more in the report, and probably the major part of what's detailed in that report, is the inadequate application of the best practices. Because what you start to see is where, for example, with inadequate capacity planning, there wasn't an effective estimate of the number of users that would be coming to the system initially. And all of that can be tied to not really having made a good assessment of your requirements and what your needs are going to be beforehand. So you have that aspect there. With the software coding errors, if you look at the systems testing, that's a great part of what needs to be in place to make sure that you have developed the system accurately and that you know that it can function properly when it's brought online. So when you've got software coding errors that have been identified but have not been dealt with through the coding, through the testing process, and through the process of correcting errors as you're going through the testing, you stand to have those problems there as they did once the system came online. And similarly, with the lack of functionality, you know, it goes back to, you know, what you've done in the way of really understanding what requirements you have and really managing against those requirements and know that you're putting the capabilities in place that are needed.
Was it within the scope of your work, Valerie, to look at the whys behind these issues to get a sense of whether it was an attempt to try to compress the timeline or some other issue that drove some decisions to be made the way that they were made?
The timeline certainly was a factor, and it actually was a factor that showed up pretty much across the areas that we looked at. We were repeatedly told that, you know, there were efforts to attempts to expedite the development efforts. There were attempts to, you know, maybe move faster with some of the testing and not do certain testing because they were trying to work toward and meet that October 2013 deadline for bringing it online.
The report says since the initial launch, CMS has taken steps to address these problems, including increasing capacity, requiring additional software quality reviews, and awarding a new contract to complete development and improve the functionality of key systems. And I guess the administration was satisfied enough with the job that Accenture did when they came in that they continued the deal with Accenture. And as I mentioned when I brought you on, Valerie, we saw this last open season in the fall of 2014 into the beginning of 2015. Go a lot better. Is it fair to say that from the work that you did, that CMS and HHS were aware of some of the problems that you turned up and kind of did them work toward the second open season, anticipating that some of these things were the reasons that they had the problems they had?
I think they did in some respects. They certainly had independent verification and validation testing assessments, I should say, that had been conducted even prior to the system being brought on board. So they were aware of a number of the problems, and they did, as you said, take steps to increase some of their server capacity, for example, or replace databases and modify software. And they've attempted also in terms of to make changes in their documentation in some cases. And we see all of that as very good steps. Obviously, we still have recommendations, so we still feel that there's some gaps in what they are doing, you know, and they haven't gone far enough from our perspective, but they have made some attempts. I think they do recognize it. It's just a matter, though, of continuing to move forward and to really continue to have the necessary oversight and management in place to make sure that they are putting good processes and procedures in place and abiding by them.
Valerie Melvin of the Government Accountability Office. But as I look at your report, Valerie, and think about 50 million IT-oriented Government Accountability Office reports that I've read in the past, the three things that you point out as the large problems, and you mentioned them earlier, requirements weren't managed effectively, system testing inconsistent, project oversight not effective. We could go down the high-risk list past, present, and future, and probably find these attributes in any or all of them, couldn't we?
Unfortunately, we could. They're very common problems. They stem oftentimes from, not managing, or managing to the deadlines in this case. You know, it was a big problem with what they did, and we do see it quite frequently, way more than we'd like to see it.
You made seven recommendations to CMS. If you could just go over those, each one of them, there's a couple as you mention them that I'll pull out and ask you about. But I can't remember the last time that I saw seven recommendations in one report.
Well, it's a large number. It's not the largest that I've seen before, but we do view these as critical actions that we think they still need to take. And it goes back to what you emphasized earlier, and that is, the need for them to continue to move forward. And this is not just about healthcare.gov per se and the systems that are related to it, but also about their overall management for any aspects of their systems development.
The recommendations that you make, just start at the top of the list and go down, if you would, please, Valerie.
Well, we had a couple of recommendations that are related to improving requirements management. We think that they need to do a better job of documenting the approval process for their requirements. We found that they weren't documenting. They didn't have the appropriate approvals, the officials who were supposed to be there. And even after the launch in their attempts to improve that, we still found cases where the appropriate approvals were not in place on the documentation. So it implies that, potentially there weren't the people there who really were supposed to say, yes, it's okay to move forward with to address these particular requirements. We also recommended that they implement procedures, and as I said before, to obtain the signatures on the stakeholders, and these were the business owners, the appropriate approval authorities. And we also had three recommendations that related to systems testing, and this pertained to documenting and approving systems testing policies and procedures, requiring critical and key information in the systems test plan. We found often that they didn't have documentation or information in the test plans that would guide them. For example, to have criteria for, whether they passed or failed a test case, you want to make sure that information is reflected in the plans and in the cases that they test cases. So we wanted them to do those things. We had two recommendations related to oversight. That was a big area relative to them not having effective schedules in place, and we think that they need to ensure that they have schedules, that they're well-constructed, that they have logical sequencing of activities, that they can identify where there are gaps in their planning and in their activities so that they can manage to that. And also in developing and implementing policies and procedures for estimating the levels of effort. We go back to them not having capacity, not having the ability to really know what they needed. But, a lot of that's driven by not really understanding the overall effort that they had to undertake and to really have defined and established a process to make sure that they could accomplish that and that they could measure to the progress that they were making.
So you mentioned documentation there a couple of times, and when I looked at the list of recommendations, that's what jumped out at me, because this is another theme that I hear consistently when I talk to you and your colleagues, and that is not so much the fact that we we don't know that somebody did or didn't do something, but the problem that we actually don't know that they did or didn't because nobody signed off or documented that something was done. So it may have been, and it may not have been done right, but we don't have any way to even know what effort was undertaken.
We don't. And contributing to that was the fact that just overall project management, they have a system, for example, that they're supposed to be using to manage projects and to manage the requirements. Well, it was missing some of the documentation that needed to be there, so you really couldn't know whether, in fact, they really had perhaps developed certain requirements. You couldn't know what steps they'd taken to manage. Either the documentation was absent or it might have been in a contractor system rather than in CMS's project management system. They didn't have the particular specifics in terms of identifiers and information there that would really allow them to track, or for anyone to track, to know that, you know, yes, they attempted to accomplish this particular task and they went through all the steps of development, testing, and to make sure that happened. A lot of that was missing, unfortunately.